Thanks for tuning in to the Coaching Lab Podcast. I'm head coach Matt Dennis, and today we are going to be looking at developing your offense. How do we know if you're running the right offense? How do we make some tweaks to better suit the players that you have and the style that you want to play? We'll look at some key questions in today's podcast. I think you're really going to enjoy it.
Welcome to the Coaching Lab Podcast, where basketball coaches build more success in less time by increasing their ability to teach, lead, and coach the players on their team and in their program.
Let's dive right in to developing our offense. Now, another way to think about this is to design your offense. But a lot of times we think of designing, we're starting from scratch and we're trying to create something new. And I don't want to think about it that way. I want to think about developing the skills that our players have, but also developing the concepts that we're most comfortable with and developing the situations that we see most often in games. If we think about developing what we have, it's a little bit less of a daunting task. It's not like we're starting from zero. It's saying, all right, this is where we're at. Now, let's go ahead and raise the bar or raise the standard in our offensive play. So developing your offense is what we're going to be looking at today. Now, one question I get a lot from coaches is, what offense should I use? What's the best offense? These are the types of players I have. This is different than what I had in the past. I need to switch it up. And those are all great questions. As a coach, I go through the same questions every year, brings in a different set of players. Now, if you're at the varsity level, hopefully your players are coming in with a similar style or mindset to your varsity team. That means that you have developed over the course of your program the different skills or the different style of play that you want. And there is no one perfect way to do this. I'm just going to let you know how we've done it in our program. And then you have to fit it to your style and to whatever kind of your, you know, tolerance is for different styles of basketball and different styles of play. But in our system, we try to teach the kids a basic motion, kind of a read and react style. It's not truly the read and react, but a lot of people are familiar with that. We want the players to come in with that motion style of offense where they know how to pass and cut, or they know how to pass and screen. They know how to play multiple positions, so it's kind of that positionless basketball. Again, it's not perfect to positionless basketball because we do get kids who are more of a true post player sometimes in high school who can't handle the ball or play the wing, or they don't have the outside shot. So when they're young, we want them to learn all of these skills. But it's not a perfect match for positionless basketball or just the read and react offense. When they get into the ninth grade, that's when we kind of start to ingrain them in our style of play. Now, that goes deeper than just offense. We have our offensive philosophy that we want to start to give them the foundation for. What is that going to look like? What are the skills and the concepts they need to know? Then we also have that for our defense and for our transition offense and defense. By the time they hit the 10th grade, they've got the foundation. Now we're pinpointing on more specific skills. We're pinpointing on what certain players can do that other players can't. Playing time becomes slightly different at the JV level because they're preparing for the varsity level. And then they jump up to the varsity. I know that they've had a good foundation of the motion offense in the middle school levels. The ninth grade level, they've had kind of built the walls of the house, so to speak. And then when they get up to the 10th grade, we've put the roof on, we've enclosed everything, and now they're at the 11th grade and we're putting the finishing touches. So how do we use these skills in a faster way? How do we use these skills in a more deliberate way to get the right shots and to make sure that we're having the right person handle the ball, the right person handling pressure, the right person posting up? And we're really fine-tuning and putting the finishing touches on, you know, this house that we've built over the course of the last couple of years. So that's how we look at designing our offense. But still, every team has a different set of skill sets and has a different set of players that you have to mold and shape things to fit what they're doing. I just know that they come in with this foundation and these walls that I can build on. And then it's up to me to make sure that I develop and I change and I create an addition, so to speak, into what they already have, and I build on those things. Now, back to what a lot of coaches ask about is, what's the best offense? Should I run a shuffle offense, the Princeton offense, the motion, a read and react, the dribble drive? And many times it's with whatever the fad is going on. Okay, a few years ago, everybody was running the dribble drive. And I know it's still a popular offense, but not as many coaches are asking about the dribble drive unless that's been their system offense. Then the read and react came in, and the read and react kind of took over, and everybody was into, we're going to pass and cut through because now we don't have playmakers that we need in the dribble drive. We need something that's going to be more encompassing of all the players we have. So we had the read and react come in. So a lot of coaches went that way. Now, interestingly enough, the offense that has become most popular and the most questions I get about is the Princeton offense, which is used to be thought of as kind of more of a rigid, you know, you're doing the backdoor cuts. You have to have certain skill sets. You have to be extremely smart and disciplined. And all those things can be true to a certain extent. But teams are running a lot of Princeton offense now. So we're seeing a lot more of that. But to answer the question, what's the best offense? The answer is yes. And why I say yes is because any of those offenses works great. The thing that you have to ask yourself is, are you comfortable with those offenses? If you go purely motion, okay, and that looks different for everybody. Everybody has their own concept of kind of a motion offense. If you go just read and react, it's a great offense. There are great things. If you put all, I think there's 17 layers in there. Put all 17 layers of the read and react in. It's great. The dribble drive is a phenomenal offense that you can run if you're comfortable with it. If you like the 1-4 high, if you want to run the flex or the shuffle cut, those have great attributes to them, and you can't go wrong. So to say, what's the best offense? The best offense is the offense that you are most comfortable with, which is why most coaches go with what they've either played or what they have been coaching for a long time. But you can't limit yourself. What's the best offense for the team you have now? It may be, say, the flex offense, or it might be the flow offense, or the read and react offense. But now you have to build on that, and you have to add things that fit your tolerance for what you like to see, you know, on the floor, for your player's skill sets. You sort of have to build out that offense to make it fit what you have. Coach, let's take a quick time out. If you're looking for new ideas to add to your offense, you want to look at some different options or maybe change things altogether, I encourage you to check out the Coaching Lab at CoachMattDennis.com. You'll find PDFs, you'll be able to download different things, watch videos, watch clinics, and find out what will work best for your team. So if you're looking for man-to-man offense, zone offense, after timeout plays, or you just want some out-of-bounds plays, you'll find it inside the lab. Head over there now, check out the 3-day free trial. Now let's get back to building your offense in this podcast. But there are so many different variations in all of those offenses. If you just stuck with one thing, now I'm going to give you dribble drive as an example. If you have a super dynamic point guard who can break somebody down, can get into the lane, can create some numbers advantages, and knows how to kick, that is a great way to start your offense and to get things going. But let's say the next year you don't have that phenomenal point guard anymore, and now all of a sudden you have to do things slightly different. Do you have to scratch the dribble drive completely? Well, no. What you would do is you would make your transition flow into the dribble drive a little bit more seamlessly. You would run some more action where you're dribbling down to the nail and you're pitching it to the four if you have a strong four man. You would use some different actions to get players moving inside that dribble drive setup, where you can still utilize the strengths of it, but you're doing it differently than just breaking a player down one-on-one. So when we talk about building an offense, we're talking about finding what we have and how can we use the foundation and make it work for the players in the best way possible. So I'm not going to give you, if you haven't been able to tell yet, I'm not giving you what's the one offense that you absolutely have to run and it's going to win all your games and it's going to give you the best chance to score the most points and all of that. You've got to decide, based on these questions I'm about to share with you, what it is that you want your offense to do and what's going to fit best for your players And then you're going to put that in and build that in practice. So let's go and dive into, you know, some questions. And I've got 9 questions here that we're going to hit briefly, but I think are going to help you, whether you're starting your season, or if you're already a couple of games into your season and you're looking to adjust things, or you're just trying to keep an edge to your team and your program. You've already got what you like and you just want to tweak some things. I think this is going to help anybody at any level of basketball, as well as any place in your season. So let's dive into number one. First is, what skills do players bring to the table? If you take a look at the group that you have, what are the skills that stand out? Who are those 2, 3, 4 players that have something that you can build upon? And you've got to be honest with yourself. If you have a player who is a wing-sized player, but doesn't have the ability to be a slasher, then you can't put them in positions to slash. Okay, so we got to be honest about what their skill set is. If they're not a shooter from the outside, but they are a slasher, we have to know that. So one thing that I like to do is kind of write down the players, write down the skills that they have, and give me a good idea of what I'm working with. Number 2, what are your team's overall strengths? So now we have, individually, we've broken down each player. And they might just be a role player. Not every player has to have a significant scoring role. Not every player has to have a significant playing time role. But we do need to know what they bring to the table. If their role is the hype guy on the bench, then we're not designing our offense around them. And we know that. So if that's kind of what they have on paper, they're pretty good in all these areas, but they're not real good in any one area. They're not the best athlete. They might get some sub minutes, but we're not designing the offense or developing things around that player. So we've got all of our players listed with all the skills that they bring to the table, and now we need to know what are the overall strengths. If you've got a team that has 2 bigs that you can play together, or maybe 2 bigs that you can sub in and out, depending on how you want to play them, then maybe developing something in the post. Running a high post offense or a high low offense is going to be, you know, more of what you want to do with your group, because you have those bigs who are a little bit more dominant. If you're small and you're really quick, your transition game might be where you need to put more emphasis in your offense, not your half-court offense. So we aren't even breaking it down into what are the half-court offenses. We're saying, how can we develop our transition game to get some more points, which we'll talk about more in a minute. So what are my team's overall strengths? Number 3, what is your team's overall athleticism? Now, this can play a big role too, because some offenses do require a little more athleticism, getting around the corner of a player, breaking a player down, getting over the top of somebody. There are different levels of athleticism that obviously make certain positions in certain offenses work better. If you have a group that is not real athletic, would a continuity offense be better? Would a flex, a shuffle cut, a flow style offense be something that you want to look at? Those all have advantages as well. I tell you, in our program, we put in a continuity offense and we put in a motion style offense. I told you the motion is what we build in our program, so every player has that. The continuity offense requires timing, requires some grit to set screens, to cut hard, requires players to understand where the shot's coming from. They have to think about the game slightly different. The defense also has to think about the game differently. They have to communicate through screens. They have to fight through screens. They have to see if they can get to where the shot is going to be coming from. There's a lot of different things that defenses will have to do that aren't always done in kind of a traditional motion style offense. So I like to switch it back and forth, because when the defense gets comfortable with the motion, let's go to the continuity and see if they're comfortable in that. If they're not, we might be able to get a few points that way. Next question, number 4, is where do you want shots to come from? And this goes back to our first question of what skills do the players bring to the table. If we have good outside shooters, that may be where we want our shots to come from. So a drive and kick, a post touch and a skip, ball reversal, all those things would be much more likely to be built into the offense, because we want the outside shot. If post player, we want post touches, that's where a lot of our shots are going to be coming from. Then we want to make sure that we're looking into the post, we're getting a ball reversal so that we can get a seal, maybe in our transition. We're getting our big man down to the rim on the ball side to make sure that he can post up or she can post up and we can try to get it in there right away. We're looking high-low. You can go high-low in lots of different ways, but there are ways to eliminate the help side defense in a high-low set. 1-4 sets are great at getting some action going and then creating something in the post. So all of that works well if you have certain strengths for certain players, but none of it has to be the only thing that you do, or it doesn't have to change everything you do. You can get a post up in the dribble drive offense. You can get post-ups in the read and react offense. You can get post-ups out of the flex offense. You can get post-ups out of motion. You can get great post-ups out of 1-4 high sets. All of them can allow you to get the ball into your post player if that is where the biggest strength of your team is. So where do you want these shots to come from in your offense? And it might be more than one place, but developing those shots in the first look, and then if that look's not there, how do we get a second look? That's where you build on it. We didn't get the first action. How do we get the second action that we're looking for? That leads to number 5 is, how do you put the defense in a bind? If you're just hoping that a series of actions, and this is where plays come in. I haven't talked too much about plays, but if you run a lot of different sets, you run box sets, or the 1-4 high is kind of can be a set style offense. But if you're running a lot of different sets, that's all to create an advantage for your offensive player to score. The reason most coaches have gone away from sets is they take a lot of time in practice. They are also easier to scout. So if you're taking up your practice time trying to teach sets to guys who won't necessarily be in the game and won't be using those sets, then they can be a bit of a time waster. If you're using sets strategically, they can definitely add value to what you're doing out on the floor. They can add a little bit of flair, something that an opponent isn't expecting. We have different sets that we run that are out of the exact same alignment, but based on our signal call, and we try to give it a signal instead of a name all the time, but our signal call, that's going to tell our players that we're running a different action. We're looking for something different that the defense isn't going to expect. But our offense is not built around sets. Sets are kind of implemented, and there's something to add to what we have already put in place. So we need to know, how do we put the defense in a bind? How do we draw two together so that we can kick? How do we get a skip pass maybe and a pin down screen so we give our shooters more time? All of those concepts will help you develop and will help you get the defense in a bind. How do we remove the help side so our post player is isolated? If the ball screen, we haven't talked much about the ball screen offense, but that's extremely popular right now because the NBA is doing a lot of the ball screen. It's trickling into the college game, and you see more high schools doing the continuity ball screen. If that's what you like, then that can lend itself to having your point guard be the playmaker. It can lend yourself to having your point guard be a great assist man because they see the bind they've put the defense in and they've decided to kick it out. Or you've got the role person, whether that big man can shoot, he can pop out. If that big man can't shoot, they need to roll and seal. So all of those things can still happen in a ball screen or a continuity ball screen, depending on which style that you use. So where do you want or how do you put the defense in a bind? Number 6 is, what actions will your team need to know? And when I say what actions does your team need to know, is if you're constantly trying to drive the lane and kick, that's an action. How can you manipulate that in different ways to make it happen without making it look the same? So maybe you'll run, you know, a trailing 4-man all the way through the paint so that you're eliminating that person, and then your post player is coming up to set the ball screen. Maybe in the dribble drive, you're, instead of having your point guard get to the nail every time, you're swinging the ball over to the trailing big, and he's trying to get to the nail, and then he's going to pitch it or make the read. So it's a different player guarding that action. We run lots of loops. A loop is really just dribbling at a person and exchanging places with them. So if my point guard is at the top of the key and he wants to loop with the 2 guard on the right hand side, he dribbles at the 2 and says loop. The 2 guard makes a shallow cut and comes right to where the point guard was, and the point guard now has the ball on the wing. So we've had the ball didn't exchange hands, it's still with the point guard, but it's now changed a spot on a floor. we can then run actions or run different things off of that. So how can we kind of manipulate what we're doing offensively to put people in different positions so that we can run the action that we want, maybe with a different person or in a different place on the floor? Actions can be everything from skip passes to ball screens to handoffs to a down screen, a back cut, any of those things that we want to build into our offense. So we need to know what actions we want that will fit the team that we have. Number seven is, what repetitive skills do your players need to master? If you're going to be running a lot of ball screens, they need to know how to handle the ball coming off of a screen. They need to know where that passes, that skill. Those skills need to be done repetitively in practice. And this is where the block practice kind of versus the random practice comes into play. You need to have some of that block practice so that they can develop those skills in such a manner that they have the foundation and they have, you know, this a comfort level to perform it. And then you need to go into the random practice, maybe with small-sided games or with scrimmaging, where they're trying to perform this skill in a lot of different ways, in different angles, in different situations, making different reads. All of that is going to help develop that skill. So we need to know the repetitive skills players need. We need to give that to them maybe in the block format, and then we need to put that in kind of a random format in our practice. And this is going to look different in every kind of different position or different spot on the floor. So I know when you talk about positionless basketball, well, anybody can play any one spot. They can rotate anywhere they want. That is extremely true. But the bottom line is 90% of the time your point guard brings the ball down the floor. Okay? They kick it to the right-hand side of the floor on a drive and a kick to the two guard. So that two guard needs to know how to have their feet set, how to make sure they get the shot off, how to do a pump fake. All right. If you give it to the four, not that the four can't do it, but that four is not going to get the ball screen as often. That four is not going to call out a play as often. There might be a couple select plays that they have that they're really comfortable with, but you don't put the same trust in the ball handling if you have a trailing four or in the shot and playmaking ability that your four has. So making sure that they have the right repetitive skills to perform whatever it is that you're doing and whatever your offense offers. Number eight is, where can you steal some points? So now we've kind of built all these different parts into our offense. We've designed things and we know what we want to work on. We know where we want our shots to come from. We know the skill set of our players. We know the actions that we need. We understand how to put the defense in a bind because we've kind of broken down what our base offense is and we've started adding these components that work with our team. So number eight is, where can you steal points? And this is stuff that doesn't go into your offense, but more times than not, it probably generates you points. So when you think about offense, you can't take these for granted. And there are three of them. The first one I've mentioned already is transition offense. If you have a team that is quick, if you have a team that works hard, and maybe they're not great athletes, but they work tremendously hard, if they will sprint the floor in transition, whether you use a traditional kind of early offense, or if you flow right into a certain type of set or a certain type of continuity, your transition offense can be extremely powerful if your team understands what you're trying to do and they get there quickly. The defense doesn't have a chance to set up. You can steal points in transition because of how fast your players are down the floor. A great example of this is, I've had a point guard this last year who is the quickest player I've probably ever had with the ball. And when teams play zone, he can push the ball faster than they can set up their zone. So he can get down and either get a shot off or create a shot attempt for a player as long as we're running the floor hard. We don't ever have to set up a zone offense when he pushes the ball extremely hard. Now, does it happen every single time? No, it doesn't. But we steal points every single game a team tries to play a zone against us because he is so quick dribbling the ball down the floor. The other two are offensive rebounds. That's the first one. Offensive rebounds, a lot of times coaches will want to transition after the shot into their defense. If you'll dedicate one more player to getting the rebound. So instead of having two get it, you really dedicate three. Not two, and sometimes he goes in, but have three players and even four players. We've done it with four. Have four players offensive rebound. You will get more rebounds. You will get more shot attempts. Now, will you give up anything in transition? I found that in the high school game, at least, it does not hurt us to send more to the glass. Okay, if you want to do kind of the 3.5 idea, you can, but you have, whatever your full number is, if it's three, they've got to be dedicated to getting to the glass. Okay, if it's four, they've got to be dedicated. If it's 3.5, that half might get one here and there, but you're not going to get much there because I find that person tends to be more defensive minded when they do it. But when it becomes a full four, now all of a sudden they're getting after it. You'll get more shots on your offensive rebounds. The third one is free throws. How can we get the ball in a position to get fouled to put us at the free throw line? You know, 7.5 fouls is going to get you to the 1-1. 10 is going to get you that two-shot bonus. Where can you steal some fouls so that you can steal some free throws, either later in a half or in a game, or through your shot attempts, you're getting fouled so that you can get to the free throw line and hopefully get a chance, you know, for a three-point play. But looking at developing a way to get fouled, and you don't want it to be cheap. We're not talking about flopping. We're not talking about putting your player in a position to get hurt or anything like that. We're just talking about if you're quick enough to beat your player and you have a slight advantage and you can go up to finish and you know you're going to get fouled, we need to work on finishing under contact so we can get fouled. If you're a shooter and you know that the players tend to jump, a pump fake and then going into your shot is a way to get fouls. So you need to develop getting ways to get to the free throw line. That will help you steal points. If you're in the post, your posts have to be physical. They have to give pump fakes. They've got to get the defender off the ground. In the high school game, all of those things, because the defenses are not always sound, they will lead to you stealing some points. And then number nine, our last one, is our special situations. And this is really, I think, where you can design things for specific players. This is where you, instead of having, you know, 100 different sets that they go through, you have certain plays that you're coming out of a sideline out of bounds, a baseline out of bounds, the end of game situations, your after timeout situations. Those are your four key special situation areas. And you're developing a shot for somebody. So they really need to know, this is who we're trying to get the shot for. Here's where the secondary shot would come from, though. If our primary option is not there, our secondary option should be available. So you don't need to have a dozen of these. I think sometimes coaches do overkill. They have too many plays. Develop just a couple of plays, maybe three plays, four plays max, and then teach them the options. Because those three plays don't just become three plays. They become three plays with two options, the primary and the secondary option. So what you've done is you've really just created three plays into six plays, but it's the exact same setup. They don't have to learn new timing. They don't have to learn new position. They don't have to learn a new skill set. We're just developing what we have. And a lot of this can come through your decision-making drills. They can come by putting your players in situations to have to read the defense or to have to handle a double team or to have to throw the ball when somebody is in their face out of bounds. They're jumping and they're hollering versus when they take a guy off and it's a little bit easier to see the court. So you got to put them in those different situations to make different decisions and be able to handle that, have a comfort level, which will allow you to run that special situation and have an opportunity to score. I mean, that's really what we're trying to do, is score, win the game, whatever situation that you're in. So coaches, I hope this helped you out. I hope as you build your offense, gave you some things to think about. I know that if you'll take the time to sit down, put some things on paper, discuss them with your staff, you're going to come up with some ways that you hadn't thought about before, and you will be able to build on whatever foundation your players have currently. If you're just taking over a program, it may take a year, and I found this both times I've taken over a program. The first year was the toughest year because you're kind of breaking the cycle of what they had learned, but at the same time, they're starting to get it. So you're starting to see glimpses. It's just not as consistent as we want. By the second year, those players are coming back. They feel very comfortable with it. So that's how we've designed ours. I won't tell you it's the only way to do it, but it has worked wonders for me at the community college level as well as at the high school level. And I hope you take some of this, put it down, talk with your staff, and come up with the best offense. You can build that offense so that you can score and win as many games as possible. Thanks, Coach.
Coach, if you've enjoyed the Coaching Lab podcast, I encourage you to go give us a 5-star rating and even leave us a review. I'd greatly appreciate it. Thanks for listening to today's episode, Coach. If you'd like more great coaching content, I encourage you to check out the Coaching Lab at coachmattdennis.com. You'll find everything you need to have more success in less time.